You're listening to Adventures in Jewish History with Rabbi Danny Sachstein.
Good afternoon and welcome to Soul to Soul. It's always wonderful to be here with you live from our studio in Johannesburg. Today is Yom HaZikaron. Today is the day we remember the fallen soldiers in the line of duty defending the people of Israel and the land of Israel. And we also remember today those that have been murdered in and are victims of terror in the land of Israel. And so our learning, which we, those words of Torah we learn together in this time that we have, should be for the elevation of the souls of those who died al kiddush Hashem, sanctifying God's name, protecting the Jewish people in the land of Israel. There are 23,646 Israeli soldiers that have fallen in the line of duty, and each one of their souls should get merit from our learning. And we owe them a tremendous debt of gratitude, the reason why we have the great gift of the land of Israel as an independent Jewish state is because of the ultimate sacrifice of these 23,646 soldiers. And we should show our appreciation, and Hashem should give them a great reward in the eternal world for their commitment to the Jewish people. And appropriately, I want to share with our listeners a very significant talk, you know, the ideas that are very relevant to us and really run at the heart of the protection of the Jewish people. And it's something that it's a little bit daunting, that which I'm going to talk about on the radio, but I think it is worthwhile because the ideas that I would like to share have great power and significance to our lives and to understanding how things operate with regards to the Jewish people in the spiritual worlds. And that which I want to talk about is the subject of Lashon Hara. This Shabbos, Parshas Tazria Metzora, is one that tells us of the conditions that result or used to result when people spoke excessive Lashon Hara. There was a disease on the skin called Tsaras, which the Torah deals with extensively in this week's Parsha. And therefore, this coming Shabbos is a Shabbos where the Chofetz Chaim Heritage Foundation, a wonderful organization in America, has requested of Rabbonim around the world to talk about Lashon Hara and to emphasize the importance of guarding one's speech and of keeping these laws of the Torah. So that's why I would like to share with you some of these ideas. And Lashon Hara, so let's start at the beginning. Lashon Hara is when somebody says something derogatory about another. The Pasuk says, Lo telech rachil be'almecha, Parshas Kedoshim is coming up soon, don't be a talebearer amongst your nation. That's what the Torah tells us. And there are many halachas that are involved in Lashon Hara. In fact, the Chofetz Chaim says, when a person speaks Lashon Hara, when a person says something derogatory about another, there are 31 lavim, 31 transgressions that person is oiver, that person transgresses 31 different prohibitions from the Torah, which is a big number, you know. Many of the other isurim, the other lavim, are one prohibition, one transgression in the Torah, but Lashon Hara is 31. So we need to understand why it is so important, why it is given so much emphasis in the Torah, and exactly how it all works, how the system and mechanism works. What I want to do is start out with a story, a very interesting story of the Chofetz Chaim, and that should give us a bit of insight into how important Lashon Hara is. The Chofetz Chaim was a very holy Jew. He lived in Radin, which is a small town on the Lithuanian and Polish border, and he was somebody who dedicated his life to educating the Jewish people about the severity and damage done by speaking Lashon Hara and how important it is that we need to be controlling our tongues and not speaking in the derogatory way. He could have emphasized anything, the Chofetz Chaim. He was a great Talmud Chacham. He knew Kol HaTorah Kula. But this is the particular thing that he chose to focus on and emphasize within his teaching to the Jewish people. So when we come back after this break, I'll share with you a very fascinating story about the Chofetz Chaim himself.
You're listening to Adventures in Jewish History with Rabbi Danny Sachstein.
We're talking about the prohibition of Lashon Hara, of speaking in a derogatory way about others, and how severe that is in terms of a transgression. And it has. We're going to discuss the ramifications in a few moments. We want to start out with the story of the great Chofetz Chaim, Rav Yisrael Meir Kagan HaKohen, who was a very holy Jew. He lived in Radin, in Lithuania. He died in the year 1933. And he dedicated his life to educating the people about the importance of guarding our tongues and of not speaking Lashon Hara. And there was a story about him. The Chofetz Chaim was sitting on Purim, and he was already towards the end of his life. He was an old man, and there were a number of people sitting around the table in his dining room. And just then, a bacher from his yeshiva, one of the students that learnt in his yeshiva in Radin, walked in the room. Chofetz Chaim saw immediately that it was Purim, and often we consume alcohol on Purim. It's a mitzvah to drink on Purim. And the Chofetz Chaim saw that this person had fulfilled the mitzvah. He wasn't quite walking straight. And he came right up to the Chofetz Chaim, and he said to him, right in his space, he said to the Chofetz Chaim, Rebbe, guarantee me that I will sit next to you in Gan Eden. So sitting next to somebody in Gan Eden means that I'll have the same portion as you. I will be in the same place. The place where you are in Gan Eden, the world of eternity, is represented by your spiritual position will determine your place over there. So he's kind of saying, let me be next to you. Let me have the same spiritual merits as you. So the Chofetz Chaim responded to him and said, how do you know I'll be in Gan Eden? Which is obviously a very humble thing to say. The Chofetz Chaim was the Gadol Ador, the greatest sage of the generation. He wrote many works, including the Mishnah Berurah. I teach a program in a program called Daf Hayomi BaHalacha. We learn one page of Mishnah Berurah every day. It's a program that is learned by thousands of Jews all over the world. I don't know where we would be today in terms of halacha without the Mishnah Berurah. It's a tremendous chus of the merit of the Chofetz Chaim, which he wrote, a classic halachic work, as well as the many other classic works that the Chofetz Chaim wrote. He wrote a number of Sfarim. He was the lead of the Jewish people. He touched the lives of thousands. He brought many thousands back to Torah observance. He taught Torah to hundreds. The merits of the Chofetz Chaim, he was a man whose piety is beyond description. So, you know, if anybody is in a very high place in the world of eternity, it is Chofetz Chaim. But he says, I don't know if I'll be there. But there is, perhaps because as soon as I understood, I took upon myself not to speak or listen to Lashon Hara. So maybe because of that, I'll have a place in Gan Eden. That's what he said in his humility to this young student. And the young boy said, please let me, you guarantee me that I'll be next to you. So Chofetz Chaim, you know, those sitting around the table weren't very happy with the chutzpah of this young man, but he was a good student, and he was, you know, he had proved himself in the yeshiva, and the Chofetz Chaim was patient with him because he knew it was Purim, and he was a little bit under the influence. And so he let it go, and 5 minutes later, this young man again got up and went right into the space of the Chofetz Chaim and says, Rebbe, guarantee me that I'll be next to you in Gan Eden. Chofetz Chaim said, I can give you such a guarantee on one condition, on the condition that you, like I did, make a commitment not to speak Lashon Hara or listen to Lashon Hara from this day on. And there was an uncomfortable silence, and the young student thought about it. He went white, he sobered up very quickly, and he didn't answer, he didn't say anything. And the Chofetz Chaim waited to give him a chance to answer. And when he saw that this young man wasn't prepared to make that commitment, he said, take him away from me. He said, this person was standing at the gates of Gan Eden and had an opportunity to enter, and he turned it down. So why, out of everything, did the Chofetz Chaim emphasize that in order to get to Gan Eden, the commitment from your side would be not to speak Lashon Hara? He could have said many other things. Learning of Torah, keeping of Shabbos, being careful with kashrus, etc., etc., etc. But the thing he emphasized was Lashon Hara. Why is it so important? So let's delve into the subject a little bit. Let's see how far we can get in our short time together. We need to understand why Lashon Hara is so significant and important. And I want to start out by emphasizing by quoting six different sources in our holy works which make reference to Lashon Hara and how strong they are about it. And then with the principles that we will describe, we'll try and understand the answer of why these six sources give such tremendous focus and emphasis on Lashon Hara. First one is the Gemara tells us that the most severe of all the averus, of all the transgressions, is Lashon Hara. Now, that's quite difficult to understand, isn't it? Because we know Shabbos runs at the heart and the center of being a Jew, of not doing malach on Shabbos, and that bears testimony that there's a creator of the world, created the world in 6 days, and seventh day he abstained from creative work, and therefore we do the same. Shabbos is the foundation of all of Yiddishkeit, of belief in God. There's kashrus, which is of paramount importance in the life of a Jew, to make sure that you eat kosher food and you eat food that has a good heksha, a reliable heksha like the Johannesburg based in, or another reliable international heksha. Very important we eat kosher food. Nida, keeping the laws of family purity. These are all very important. So why does the Gemara say the most severe of all the sins is speaking Lashon Hara? That's question number one. Question number two. The Gemara tells us that the Beis HaMikdash, the temple, the second temple, was destroyed because of sinas chinam, because of senseless hatred. And the Chofetz Chaim explains that Gemara and says, well, the reason, the cause of that senseless hatred was Lashon Hara. And so the Gemara tells us that Lashon Hara destroyed the temple. Why is Lashon Hara so severe that it can result in the destruction of the temple, which has tremendous ramifications for the Jewish people and the entire world? Third question, the third source is another Gemara. The Gemara tells us of Rav Alexandri. He was a Tana, and he came to a certain town, and Rav Alexandri said, who wants, I'm not sure if it was a Tana, it might have been a Moira, but he came to a certain town, and he you know, in those days that used to work, that they used to have a market day once a week in the town, and people were sustained by what they were able to sell at the market day. And at the market day, where everybody had gathered, he stood up on a wooden box, and he said, who wants the potion? Who wants the secret to living a long life? That's what I have to sell. And obviously that caused a great commotion, because we all want to live a long and healthy life. And he's promising this. Wow, you know, isn't that a shortcut, a real solution to our problems over here, and a guarantee of a long life? And when everybody gathered around and waited for him to present his elixir that would provide a long life, he quoted the verse in Psalms in Tehillim, where David HaMelech says, "Miha isha chafetz chaim?" Who's the person there who wants to have a long life? And that's where the Chofetz Chaim got his name of his book from this pasuk in Tehillim. Chafetz Chaim means desires life. Netzul l'shon chamer asfasechem daber mirma. The pasuk says one should guard one's tongue from evil speech and one's lips from speaking deceitfully. So that's what the David HaMelech says. If one wants to live a long life, one should not speak Lashon Hara. Why is that the key? It doesn't say cut smoking and don't drink too much and make sure you exercise at least 3 times a week and stay away from cholesterol. No, he says don't speak Lashon Hara. That's the key to a long life. Wow. You know, why is that the key of everything? So that's the third question, third Gemara we need to understand. Fourthly, another Gemara, a lot of Gemaras I'm throwing at you listeners today. And the fourth one is that God says to the Jewish people, I'll redeem you if you don't speak Lashon Hara. I'll bring about the redemption, the Geula, the Messianic era, if you don't speak Lashon Hara. It doesn't say if we don't do any other, if we refrain from any other transgression. It says Lashon Hara. Again, why is Lashon Hara so important, so central, so powerful? The fifth source is, there's a Gemara that says that if our muzzle, the muzzle of individual, muzzle means that it's our situation, our destiny, our circumstance in this world, that a person's muzzle is destroyed because of speaking Lashon Hara. So even though a person might have a good muzzle, and there may be good things in store for that person waiting to be released from the higher worlds, but that won't reach the person until it's destroyed by them speaking Lashon Hara. Why? Why does a person speaking Lashon Hara overcome and override, is stronger than the muzzle of that individual? That's question number five. And the last one is the situation with Moshe Rabbeinu. We see that Moshe, he leaves the palace. When he's growing up in Pharaoh's palace, he goes out and he sees the suffering of the Jewish people. He sees an Egyptian beating a Jewish man very severely. And he intervenes. And he actually kills the Egyptian. He saves the life of the Jew. He kills the Egyptian. He does so with the Shemesh HaMefurash, with Hashem's holy name. And he hides the body of the Egyptian. The next day he goes out and he sees two Jews fighting. He says to them, you know, brothers, what are you doing? You brothers, you Jews, why are you fighting with each other? So they responded to him and said, well, what are you going to do if we don't stop? Are you going to kill us like you killed the Egyptian? And Moshe then says, Ach noida hadava. Then the matter was known. Rashi explains on the pasuk, what does it mean, then the matter was known? So Rashi explains and says, Moshe then understood why the exile was taking place, why the tremendous suffering of the Jewish people was happening in Egypt. Why? Because he saw that the Jewish people were speaking Lashon Hara, and then it all made sense. Then it all fell into place. Then he now understood why there was such suffering within Klal Yisrael. So the question is, why does Lashon Hara bring about suffering? Why could Moshe Rabbeinu then understand why they're going through such? So that's number six. So we're going to discuss some principles, and with those principles, we're going to come back to these six sources and show how, with the proper understanding of what Lashon Hara does, we could understand all of these sources, and they all actually make perfect sense. So let's get a bit of a background over here. According to our holy tradition, and according to, this is based on the Derech Hashem. In fact, everything that I'm sharing with you is a shiur that I heard from Rabbi Mendel Kessen. Rabbi Kessen is a rabbi in America. He's actually a psychologist as well. And he's got a wonderful talk that he gives on Lashon Hara. It's a talk that I heard many, many years ago, and I wrote it down, but I am sharing it because it is so relevant and so powerful to us, certainly today as well. And so Rabbi Kessen gives a basic overview of life, which really comes from the Ramchal, the Derech Hashem. The Ramchal explains, based on our holy tradition, that why did God create this world? What's the purpose of creation? God doesn't need us. God doesn't need us to serve him. God doesn't need this world. By definition, God is a perfect being and therefore has no lacking or deficiency and doesn't need this world. Derech Hashem says God created this world in order to create a creature upon whom to bestow his ultimate goodness. In other words, God created this whole wonderful, vast universe around us in order that a creature, which is called a human being, could earn their merit, their spiritual position, and enjoy that for eternity. God wanted to bestow of his good onto another, which is spiritual perfection, and that other would need to earn that perfection. If God just gave it to us, if God just handed it out, spiritual perfection to all of us, so then there would be something lacking. What would be lacking? That which we didn't earn ourselves. We would have received it from God as a handout and not have earned it ourselves. So it means that perfection would not be perfect because it was given out to us instead of earned by our own effort and hard work. So therefore God creates this world in order that this being, this human being, could toil, could work, could have some time over here. We're blessed with the gift of life for 70, 80, 90 years. And in that time we have the opportunity to develop ourselves spiritually in order to create the spiritual state which will be our eternal existence. So what will be in the next world is not that we work over here and we get our salary at the end of the month, we get our bonus, which is our reward in the next world. What's going to be in the next world is what we are here. In other words, the spiritual level that we generated for ourselves, that we developed for ourselves, that will be our reality. That'll be what's called our metzias, our existence in the next world. So that's what the function of creation is, in a very brief way to describe it. Now, God set up certain rules and laws and mechanisms in creation. And God set up, according to our holy tradition, according to the Torah, God set up heavenly courts. And these heavenly courts determine what happens in this world. God does not adjudicate those heavenly courts. The pasuk says, "Lo hibit avon beYaakov," that God does not see sin in Jacob and Yaakov. God doesn't want to see the negative and judge us. God set up emissaries that conduct these courts. They're called malachim. We call them malachim. The very bad translation is angels. They're these spiritual entities that run the whole system of creation, including the divine courts. And that's what we call Beis Din Shel Mala, the heavenly court in heaven. And everything that happens to us is decreed from these courts. Everything that happens to all of us in our lives is as a result of a verdict from the heavenly court. And the court's operating constantly, and therefore the situation, the circumstances we find ourselves in are a result or a consequence of the verdict that's come out of that heavenly court. So we live in this world with our blinkers, and we, you know, follow our animalistic tivers drives, and we go from one drive, one tiver to another, and we pretty much live in a very narrow world. But the reality is there's a massive system around us, and there's a mechanism that's taking place in the higher worlds that's influencing and directing and causing different events to take place and different circumstances to occur in our lives. And the challenge of life is that God created an entity, a force called the Yetzirah, which is the negative inclination. That Yetzirah is constantly trying to tempt us, is constantly trying to seduce us, is constantly trying to lock us into our lower self and not break free from the desires and the instincts, the animal instincts that are part of us, and reach higher levels, attach, connect ourselves to our higher being and to the higher worlds. And that's the constant struggle of the life of a human being. Am I going to give in to my lower self? Am I going to fall for the lure and temptations of the Yetzirah? Or will I have the strength to rise above my animal instincts and to connect to something bigger and something more pure than this physical material world, something that has eternal value? That's the challenge, the life, the struggle of every human being in this world. That Yetzirah that tries to tempt us is also called the Kitrug, is actually the accuser as well. So when we do a sin, there's a prosecuting attorney in the Beis Din Shelmala, the heavenly court, and that is actually the Yetzirah. The same entity that causes us to sin is that which accuses us in the heavenly world. And or in fact, also, that force is also the Malach HaMaves, is also the angel of death that executes the ultimate judgment, which is the removal of life for an individual in this world. So it would probably be quite useful for us to know how to counter the Yetzirah, how to defeat the Yetzirah, how to prevent the Yetzirah from taking our sins to the Beis Din Shelmala. So firstly, the best thing is not to sin, is to resist the temptations of the Yetzirah, to be aware of the inner workings of our existence, to do so. We're in a situation, we're in an ordeal, and we detect that there are different forces that are taking place within us. And there's a force that wants to go for that drive, that desire, that pleasure. And there's a force that says, hang on a minute, what are the consequences of doing this? Is this the right thing? Should you be doing this? Is this the way to behave? Is this what God wants of you? Is this fulfilling your mission in this world? So there's that inner struggle all the time. The best thing, obviously, is to resist the Yetzirah in the first place. But if we were not able to resist the Yetzirah in the first place, it would be helpful to know how to prevent the Yetzirah from taking our transgressions to the Beis Din Shelmala and being a prosecuting agent. So we're going to discuss exactly how that works and how to prevent that from taking place. Stay with us. We'll be back in a moment.
You're listening to Adventures in Jewish History with Rabbi Danny Sackstein.
So let's now discuss how the Beis Din Shelmala works. There is a concept, there's a principle called Midah Keneged Midah, which means measure for measure. How we treat others is how we are treated. The way if we treat others, our fellow human beings, with love, with compassion, with patience, with mercy, so we will be treated by the Beis Din Shelmala, by the heavenly court, with love, compassion, and mercy. And exactly how we behave and treat others is exactly how we are treated. So how do we stop the Satan? How do we stop the accusing, prosecuting attorney in the heavenly world? That happens when we do not speak in a negative way about others. So when we do not speak Lashon Hara, we do not speak in an accusatory or negative way about another person, so then we won't be spoken about in that way too. But there are many sources, the Zohar, the Dubno Magid, Rav Chaim Vital, they all say that just as Midah Keneged Midah stops the judicial process, it prevents accusations being made against us if we don't speak Lashon Hara, so too it also initiates the judicial process. So when we speak Lashon Hara, that enables the prosecuting attorney to accuse us and to attack us for our transgressions. The way I heard it described, which I think is very beautiful, is that imagine in our mind's eye, there's a courtroom that's filled with people, and each one of those people sitting in that courtroom has a file, a large file, and a thick file, but each one remains silent and cannot open their mouths. It doesn't have a mouth, can't talk. And each time we speak Lashon Hara, so we grant a mouth to another one of those individuals. But every word of Lashon Hara grants a mouth. These are transgressions, grants a mouth to one of those individuals. So let's say, you know, we phone our friend and there's a common individual that comes up in the conversation that neither of us like. And we really give it a bit of a go, you know, about that person. And let's say we spoke 200 words of Lashon Hara in that conversation, in that 5-minute phone conversation. So then we're given in that courtroom mouths to 200 of those black accusing angels that want to destroy us, that want to attack us, that want to bring a verdict against us. Each word gives another mouth, another mouth, another mouth, another mouth of Lashon Hara. And by the end of that conversation, there are 200 accusations against us for the sins we've done. That's how it works in the heavenly court. So mida keneged mida, when we speak in a negative, disparatory way against another, they now have a mouth, they have a docket, they have a case against us, and that file, with that transgression, what we've done, whatever it may be, is now presented to the court, and the case begins. And when that case ends, there's another one, another one. So there's 200 cases that are now lined up for our transgressions based on those words that we have spoken. So we see that by speaking Lashon Hara, it brings a terrible accusation against us and gives the ability of the prosecuting attorney to actually open up cases and go for us. So let's describe a little bit about what happens. 2 points. Firstly, why is it then that the month of Lashon Hara that is spoken, I'm speaking for myself here also, of course, is a lot. So how could it be that, you know, there are not worse things happening? And that is because we also do chesed. The chesed that we do, the kindness we do, is actually a protection. So mida keneged mida, because we've done the chesed, so that is viewed by the heavenly court and acts as a protection for us. But we also have the Lashon Hara, which also gives them opportunity to accuse us. When we speak Lashon Hara, so there's quite a lot going on. If somebody speaks Lashon Hara to somebody else, says a word of Lashon Hara, so the speaker obviously is speaking in a derogatory way about somebody, so they can speak in a derogatory way about that person based in Shomayim Heavenly Court. And also the listener, if somebody listens to, you're in a room, they're speaking Lashon Hara, you're listening to it, but you don't participate in the conversation. So what's wrong? I haven't done anything wrong. You have done something wrong, because by listening, that allows mida keneged mida for the court to hear things about, you've heard things about somebody in a derogatory sense, so they can hear things about you in a derogatory sense. So both the speaker and the listener are transgressing this avera, this transgression of Lashon Hara. But not only those two, but there's a third party as well. The person who's been spoken about also is impacted upon, also suffers, because that creates what's called an ayin hara. An ayin hara is when individuals say, you know, the Gemara is full of cases and the Gemara urges us to live in a humble, understated way. Because when we don't and we cause heads to turn, a guy drives around the street in the latest Lamborghini, so people say, gee whiz, you know, where does that oak have so much money from? And like, why does he deserve to have such a flashy car and such a good life? And is he ready to? When people say that about us, they take it seriously in Shemayim. And that creates a situation where they actually open up the file in Shemayim and say, well, maybe they're right. Maybe this person doesn't deserve to have all the stuff. And let's have a look. So an ayin hara is when we cause attention to be brought to us and people speak negatively about us. And that causes the case to be opened and scrutiny to take place upon us in the heavenly world, in the higher world. So it initiates a judicial inquiry against us. So therefore, what are we saying? We're saying when a person does gives in to the Yetzer Hara. So obviously, our challenge in life is to fight the Yetzer Hara, not to give in the first place. If we do succumb and give in, and we human beings, we do slip and fall, and we allow ourselves to be seduced by the temptations of the Yetzer Hara, which are many all the time. We're facing thousands of those ordeals every day when we're sitting down to eat our food, when we are looking at our phones, we're looking at our computers, when we're involved in conversation. Everything we're doing, the Yetzer Hara wants to take us down the low road, and we need to fight it and lift ourselves up to the high road. If we have sinned and fallen, as we are known to do, so we can always do tshuva. We can repent, and by the tshuva, by the repentance that we do, so that will clean the slate. Alternatively, if we don't do tshuva, so then one of the ways that wipes our record clean is what's called yisurin, is the suffering that we experience and we go through. So if a person has committed a transgression, a sin, and they've also spoken Loshon Hara, then the Beis Din Shelmana, the heavenly court, now has a case against them, now has the ability to articulate in a negative sense that accusation against the person, and the verdict then will be given by the heavenly court and will impact the person's life and will have some sort of ramification on that person. If, however, we haven't spoken, we've done the transgression, we've given into the Yetzer Hara in whatever sense, and we've done that Avera, right? And although that sin is on record, however, if we haven't spoken Loshon Hara, the Beis Din Shelmala cannot accuse us. The prosecuting attorney cannot open his mouth, doesn't have a mouth, is sitting there without a mouth. And then what happens is the sin then goes over to Hashem. Then Hashem deals with it. So if the Beis Din Shelmala does not have the ability, the opportunity, the capacity to try this case, to open the docket, so then it's handed over and sent to Hashem. And we all want Hashem to deal with us, because Hashem is full of compassion and full of love, and Hashem will give us the benefit of the doubt, and Hashem will, even if we got the sin on record, Hashem will send us situations, opportunities to do tshuva, to arouse us, to make us think, to hear ideas, to go to shiur, to learn something that will drive us to do tshuva. Hashem will give us time, and if we're not doing tshuva, so then Hashem wants to wipe it clean before we go to the next world, and there'll be some yisurim, but Hashem will carry out that suffering to our property, to our possessions, rather than ourselves. It's a much better situation to be in if Hashem is dealing with our sins as opposed to the Beis Din Shelmala. So by speaking Loshon Hara, we allow the Beis Din Shelmala to open up the case against us, and many, many cases against us. By not speaking Loshon Hara, even if we've transgressed in other areas, so at the case is dealt with by Hashem, and that's much more favorable for us, and that will ensure that our situation is much, much better. So when we get back after this break, we'll discuss now with these principles how we can answer up the original questions that we asked.
You're listening to Adventures in Jewish History with Rabbi Danny Sackstein.
So let's answer up those questions that we mentioned earlier. We've said this very powerful principle, which really is life-changing and should change our lives, that when we speak Loshon Hara, we give the opportunity to the prosecuting attorney to attack us and to open a docket against us. When we don't speak Loshon Hara, even if we have sins under our belt, even if we have a negative record in our file, so that file is then handed over to Hashem. And it's much more favorable for us in those circumstances. It's indescribable how much better it is for us. So with that principle, we can now understand the questions that we started out with, that we opened up with. We said, we asked six questions based on our sources, why Loshon Hara is so important, so significant, so powerful. So with this principle, let's answer those questions. First one we said was, why does the Gemara say that Loshon Hara is the most severe of all of our transgressions? Well, the answer to that question is that Loshon Hara is the most severe in terms of the consequences. Although there might be more severe transgressions that a person could commit, but the consequences are not as far-reaching as when we speak Loshon Hara. Because when we speak Loshon Hara, we allow the Beis Din Shelmala, the heavenly court, to accuse us, and to bring us to justice for the transgressions we committed. And likewise, why was the base Hamikdash destroyed? The base Hamikdash was destroyed was because the Jewish people were speaking Lashon Hara. They allowed the Beis Din Shel Molech to bring this case to trial, to actually look at the situation of the Jewish people and see whether we had deserved the Beis Hamikdash or not. And the answer was we didn't deserve the Beis Hamikdash, and so it was destroyed. But if we didn't speak Lashon Hara, that case wouldn't have opened in the first place, and we would have been in a much better situation. The third question we asked was Rav Alexandri, who said that I have the potion for a long life, I have the elixir to extend everybody's life. That when we don't speak Lashon Hara, that definitely not only extends our life, but it adds to the quality of our lives. Because when these court cases are happening constantly against us, and we're being accused and we're being tried, and the verdict comes out that we committed all these transgressions, so it has a very negative impact both in terms of the quality and the quantity of our lives. But if we don't speak Lashon Hara, and those cases do not happen, and those accusing attorneys sit there with their mouths shut, without a mouth, so then obviously our situation is much more favorable when it's handed over to Hashem. Fourthly, we said that Hashem said, I'll redeem you if you don't speak Lashon Hara. That means that if there's not a case pending against the Jewish people, and it's up to Hashem, Hashem sets things up that enable us to come home, to do more mitzvahs, to do tshuva, to see what life is about. And the chances of the geula coming are much greater in those circumstances. But when it's handed over to the Beis Din Shel Molech, so we are brought to justice exactly for what we've done, and the chances of the redemption are far less in those circumstances. Fourthly, we said that God says, fifthly, we said that our mazel, our personal mazel, is destroyed by our Lashon Hara. And how does that work? Even if we have a mazel, and it's a good mazel, that won't reach us when we're constantly being tried by the Beis Din Shel Molech. If there are constantly negative verdicts coming out against us, so that blocks the good mazel from filtering down. Although that is there up in Shemayim and waiting to reach us, it's blocked by the negative cases, the verdicts that are coming out against us, only as a result of us speaking Lashon Hara, which gives the Beis Din Shel Molech the opportunity to accuse us. And finally and lastly, we said that Moshe Rabbeinu, when he saw these two Jews speaking Lashon Hara, so he said, Ach Noida Hadavra, now the matter is known. Moshe now knew how and why the Jewish people were being tried in Shemayim, and why there was such a negative verdict against them to suffer to such an extent, because they were speaking Lashon Hara. They were giving the Beis Din Shel Molech the opportunity to make those accusations, to scrutinize their actions very closely, and to result in the suffering of the galus, of the exile, and of the subjugation in Egypt. So we see that when we understand how it works, how the system works, we see that Lashon Hara is the most devastating force in the entire world, and that by being strong and working on ourselves and having the self-control and the discipline not to speak Lashon Hara, which is very, very hard, and we all know how hard it is, and we all stumble in this area, but we need to realize what we're doing to ourselves and how we're opening ourselves up and becoming vulnerable as a result, both to ourselves and to all of Klal Yisrael as a result of speaking Lashon Hara. So it's a very important subject, something that we cannot be emphasized enough, something that needs to be we need to be reminded of all the time, because when we're not thinking about it and conscious of it, we fall back into our old bad habits and just let our tongues run wild and accuse freely and rip into everybody. And we see it around us all the time. We see it in the written media. We see it in the electronic media. We see it on television. That's, you know, there are no rules about, you know, what people say and how, you know, people say disparaging things about one another. So the Klal Yisrael is supposed to be working on ourselves and aspiring to a higher level and controlling how we speak. And if we do so, so then there's a storehouse of blessing that's waiting for us in the heavenly worlds, which is something that we all desperately need to access. And we see that it really is in our hands. The power of speech determines how our situation is going to be in this world and the next world, and something that we all need to be working on each day of our lives. Thank you for listening, and have a wonderful day.